Blog Talk Radio.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, sensitive to the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turn them back to water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden cause my heat's there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes counting spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm fitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Wild parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from apostle. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Good evening, Dons and Divas. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a marvelous show. We had our GQ general question. Excuse me. We had up-and-coming artist JMO in the building. He let us know what was going on with him in the music industry. And we played some of his smashing singles that hit the nation real hard. Then we had my man Mike Ice from Under Lock and Key. Excuse me. Before I even start that off, I got to mention my man Swagger from 6 to 7 came on last week and gave out tickets on a general question to Andy and Rachel. They want tickets to his big event that's going on tonight, Shades of Blue, excuse me, at 511 Lexington Avenue between 46th and 47th Street, Latin Quarter, which they won tickets to last week when Swagger was on from 6 to 7, also doing his general question. Then after Swagger, we had up-and-coming artist JMO, and we played his smashing singles that was going on, and he let us know what his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist making it in the music industry. After up-and-coming artist JMO, we had my man Mike Ice under Lock and Key Entertainment, and he filled us in about what's going on with his showcases. He got the TV station going on, He got the music going on with the artists. You know, he's promoting new parties and everything. He fills up in the chat. And for our special guest appearance, excuse me, we had the one and only MC Shan in the building, filling us in on what was going on with him. He played just smashed his single, bringing hip hop back and stars. Excuse me, you know, I'm running down with a little cold. I hope y'all can forgive me for that. But to check last week's archive, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace to check out the archive. Tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We got our GQ general question, which is, what would you do if your mate's best friend tried to hit on you? Would you handle it yourself? Would you tell your mate? Or would you not say nothing at all? After the GQ general question, we have up-and-coming artist D.I.C.O. And we're going to be playing his smashing single, Tropical, that's hitting the nation hard, to find out what his inspiration and goals is as an up-and-coming artist. After D.I.C.O., we have our special guest appearance, author Melissa P. I'm going to call her P. Let her tell y'all what her last name is because I don't want to make no mistakes on it. And that's what's going on tonight. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with the GQ General Quest. This is Rich Money, Love, Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Yo, Ray J, Bobby Brack. Yeah, she might move on the rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first. I hop in the club and bop a show up, and I don't even put in words.
I put it on.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. Like I said, the GQ general question for this evening is, what would you do if you found out your spouse, best friend, tried to hit on you? Would you tell them? Would you not say nothing at all, or would you keep it to yourself? Me personally, I feel like, you know, I would have to tell them because it's going to get back to them eventually. But I also have to put that person in their place. You know, sometimes they say, you know, first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. That's how I feel about the situation. But you got some people that just want to handle it themselves and not say nothing at all. But I feel it's not a good situation to go by. Because if that shoe was on the other foot, wouldn't you want to know if your spouse's best friend hit it on you? I'm pretty sure you would, you know. But for the meanwhile, let me fill y'all in what's going on. On July 14th, Nonstop Media, GQ Palace, is doing a thing once again at Club Allure, 3302 Queens Boulevard. Showcase. Artists win $1,000 in cash up front. They get their champagne, their trophy. They get photo shoots, studio time at Rough Riders. They get put in Kicks Magazine, GQ College Magazine. They come on GQ College Radio when they go on other radio stations. We got Coco Chanel in the building. We got LaToya Todd from Video City in the building. We have Super Lover C that's going to be in the building. We have Hot 97 be in the building. Rough Riders, Anaya Armstead featuring my man, comedian Sticky Chick, is going to be in the building. So we definitely going to be going down July 14th. Doors open at 7 p.m., $20 at the door, just to fill y'all in. And like I said, Swagger got his thing going on tonight at 511 Lexington Avenue between 46th and 47th Latin Quarter. Shades of Blue, his 22nd anniversary. Shout out to my man Swag because he's doing big things. You know what I mean? GQ Palace is trying to take everything to a whole nother level for up and coming artists. So we're doing all that we can for them. You know, we also doing a mixtape and putting that out for the artists as well. But now I'm back to the make that hand. As far as, you know, your best friend hitting on your spouse, I think that's something that totally out of order and proper, and it needs to be taken care of ASAP. And the person should handle it themselves, but they should also let the spouse know what's going on and not leave that spouse blindfolded. You know what I mean? But right now, what we're going to do, we're going to take it easy. We're going to relax. I'm going to hit y'all with another single, another song by my man, Jaheim Hush. We're joining on the topic, 646-200-3838 if you're on your PC. Press 1 to go on the air and join in on the topic. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby. Yeah. Up in them hotel suites, babies,
my back to say no, but girl, you turn me on. And I'm coming over to your home when I know that I'm not strong. Throwing up your phone, girl, checking to see if he's home. It's too tempting, I'm tripping, touching it.
All right. and I.
Welcome back. I'm a little under the weather, but it's all good. But what I'm going to do for the meanwhile, like I said, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to let y'all know what the topic is. Until y'all decide y'all want to press one, I'm just going to sit back on this hot Friday and enjoy some music on the air until I'm up and coming artist. Now, today's topic for the general question is, what would you do if you found out, what would you do if your spouse's best friend was to hit on you? Would you tell your spouse? Would you keep it to yourself? Or would you handle it yourself? That's the situation. Now, like I said, I'm just going to lay back. I'm going to play some tunes. Because I ain't even going to lie to y'all. It's hotter than a mother today. You understand what I'm saying? So, we're going to sit back, kick back. And when y'all ready to press that one button, y'all press that one button to join in on the topic, and we'll get started. Until then, we're going to go to another single. This is Worth Your Time by Iris. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Butter, baby.
To have a million thoughts running through your head. Oh, oh, think about where you at. Late night while laying in the bed. And I wonder, when you're out of mind, do you ever have a thought about me? Another level.
Some things won't be easy, but please believe me. If you're meant to be, then love is guaranteed.
You love me when I'm
all I need to know.
You love me when I'm
is will you be here with me?
From what life
we have a caller coming on, and we're going to discuss what would you do if your best friend's spouse tried to hit on you. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm hot.
It is hot. It is hot. Maybe it's too hot. People don't want to talk. I don't know what's going on right now.
Well, I was holding.
Oh, okay. I mean, we got people holding on the line, but they're not pressing one. But anyway, what would you do in a situation like that?
Well, me personally, I'm going to curse somebody out, and then I'm going to tell. I'm telling. And then after I send the person out and then I tell, I expect that you have another one coming to you once I tell.
Okay, so you wouldn't just handle it yourself. What about that relationship that, you know, kind of remember that's their best friend? Would you tell them about their best friend doing it?
Yes, I would. I would curse the best friend out, and then I would also pick up the phone, you know, and call my husband and let him know. And then I know he's gonna cuss them out. So, you know, that's guaranteed, definitely. But I'm gonna try myself because I'm gonna say something.
All right, so let me ask you this. What if it's a situation where this best friend was with this person, they've been best friends for years, and there's a thought in your mind that your spouse won't believe you, but you still feel obligated to tell them?
Yes. Yes, I would. You know, and whether he believes me or not, my thing is, whether you believe me or not, I'm still going to tell. My loyalty is to, you know, my husband. So therefore, I'm going to tell him. And I don't know why he wouldn't believe me if he's my husband. You know, if there's a doubt in his mind that I'm not telling the truth because it's his best friend, then we're going to have a problem on a different level. You know, we're going to have that problem on a different level, me and my husband. But I'm going to definitely tell.
Mm.
But you know what? I still say we have to think of it this way, too. If you don't tell, and the best friend tells your man that you tried to hit on him, don't you want to be the first person to say something so you don't look bad? Because then your man's going to want to know how come you didn't tell him.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. But then you got some people who would just handle it themselves. With my situation, that's not a good idea. You know, because even though you feel you handle it, it's still going to come back to your spouse. Your spouse is going to want to know why they wasn't told.
Right. That's why I'm going to handle it. And then I'm going to tell my husband, and then I know he's going to handle it.
Now, what if the best friend denies it?
It's my word against his. And
so
I'm sorry, they could be friends for 30 years. It really, really does matter to me. You know, you're not sleeping with him. You're not bonding with him. You know, my man is bonding with me. He's building with me. So therefore, he should be loyal to me and understand that I would never tell him anything that's wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, that's right. Now, you got to think about it. You could tell, you said your husband. That's something different. You're saying your husband. Let's ease back a little bit. All right. Let's just say a man.
I'm not married.
No. No, that's not
okay,
what I'm saying.
I'll pretend.
Let's just ease back a little bit. Let's say if it was a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if it was a boyfriend you've been with for about 8 months. And his best friend, he's known for 5 years, about to hit on you. Let's put it like that. And
I'm
you
still
go
telling.
Back and tell him. Okay, and what if his best friend denies it? Do you think he's still going to go with you or his other best friend?
And you said we were together 5 years and he's my boyfriend?
No. I said y'all been together for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And your boyfriend's best friend, they've been together for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go back and tell? Yeah.
Yes, I would. It doesn't matter if I met somebody tomorrow and we're together, and as soon as we meet, a week or two goes by, and now I'm your girlfriend. Okay, let's just say I meet somebody, 2 weeks go by, now I'm the girlfriend. And then at some point in time, I'm introduced to the friend, you know, my boyfriend's friend. If one of them try and hit on me, I'm going to handle it myself. But then I'm also going to let, you know, my boyfriend know that, listen, this is what took place. This is how I feel about it. You know, and my thing is I don't want to be around them.
Okay, and that's what I mean. Let's see, man and his best friend been together for 5 years. What if the best friend denies it? And he gives you this look like, okay, are you telling me the truth or not? How would you feel about that?
I would be hurt. I would be hurt because what reason would I have to lie? You know what I mean? I don't lie. You know, what reason would I have to lie and tell him something on his friend? You know, so I would be hurt, and that would be something that our communication, we would have to work and we would have to build on. You know, but I would let my boyfriend know that, guess what? I don't want to be around this person. So that means, however we have to revamp the situation of us getting together, us going out, whatever the case may be, then I don't want to be around this person.
Okay, let me get into a little story for you.
Okay.
What would you do in this situation? Let's say, for instance, you have a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your friend tells you they was messing with somebody's brother, and then they was messing with somebody's uncle, and then they was messing with their best friend. What would you think about with that friend?
All right. You know what? It's hot outside, and I could have sworn. I'm going to have to ask you to repeat that for me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's say you had a friend, right?
Right.
Talking in general. If you had a friend, and they was messing with the cousin, let's say the cousin, then they started messing with somebody that's the same person, the cousin's brother, right? And
right.
Had a baby by the cousin brother, and then they started messing with a friend that the cousin and the brother both knew.
Nasty all over the place. I thought you said that, and it took me a minute to, like, really comprehend, because, like I said, it's hot. You know, and that's just nasty. That's nasty. Those are codes that, as you're explaining it, those codes you just don't cross. You know, there's the female code. There's the code of, I'm with this man. I can't date his cousin. I can't date his friend. I can't date his cousin's friend. I can't do any of that stuff. Like, there's a code. You know, it's a silent code now. I'm going to say it's silent because not a lot of people go by it. But no,
mm-hmm.
you don't do that. That's just nasty.
Okay, so if they came up to you and tell you, well, listen, you know, I got a baby by the cousin.
Uh-huh.
but I still have feelings for the original person he was with, the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to get with the friend.
No.
Let me put it to you like this.
No.
Let me see if I can make it easier for the people that's listening too. If Jane was messing with Ron, and then she started messing with Ron's cousin, and had a baby by Ron's cousin Bob, and Ron and Bob had a friend named Joe that Jane was messing with, and she told you she really wanted to go with Joe, the friend, but she still has feelings for Ron.
Just nasty. You know what I would say? Not for nothing. I would say there's a million or a billion men out there. Why? Why? Mm. You know, like, the female part of it, I would say the same thing I tell people all the time. What you do at the end of the day is that first impression or how someone perceives you, that means a lot. You can't go from one, have a baby with one, and then jump to the other, and now all of a sudden you got feelings for somebody else that's in the same clique. No. You might as well just sit and have a clique together.
Well, but you know, feelings are uncontrollable.
What kind of feelings?
Some feelings are uncontrollable. Well, you know, if you got feelings for a person, they're uncontrollable. You understand? Sometimes you may try. Like, I was watching the premiere of Fatal Attraction, what was it, last night. And there was a female that was dealing with this guy. But I don't think she knew the guy had a wife in the military. So what happened was the guy told her he didn't want to be with her no more. Okay? Come to find out, she was pregnant. And when he found out she was pregnant, what he did was, he had called her over after he told her he didn't want to be with her no more. And, you know, he killed her. And they found out about it. And, you know, his wife from the military still stuck by his side through the whole thing. I mean, you got some females that will stick by you through the whole situation. And then you got some that will just be like, you know what, I don't want to be bothered. Now, in the case of that, how you... Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rich Money, but the problem that I have with that is I'm all for standing by your man. You know, believe me, I support it. Stand by your man through thick and thin. But one, if you're with somebody and that person cheats on you and they're with multiple other people, even one person, and now this one person is now pregnant, right? This one person gets pregnant. And not only is this one person is pregnant, but now you done invited her over to the house, and now you're gonna take her life and the baby's life, mind you. What type of person would do that? Me personally, after I find out one that you cheated on me, I have a problem. Second, when I find out that you cheated on me and you did not use protection because the person got pregnant, I have a problem. Okay. And then when I find out that you cheated on me and then you took the person's life, the odds are against you at this point. Why am I staying? Either I have low self-esteem or I'm like, till death do us part. Until one of us dies, I'm going to be there. But where's the trust at? The trust is destroyed. So what type of relationship is that? Unless now the female was doing her dirt too, and she never got caught, so it's okay. See what I'm saying? Me personally, I'm out. I'm not staying. I'm not staying for no trial. Only thing I need to know is, was that your baby? That's it. I need to make sure that I have my own clarity on it, and it's not, I'm not going by hearsay. I don't want to go by hearsay. I want to go by proof. You know, I want proof. And if the one person is passed now, then you know what? I'm going to have to find some proof. Once I find the proof, then I'm out. But I can't go by speculation. I can't have, you know, my relationship based on speculation. You know what I mean? I can't leave for that. I have to make sure that, you know, I have proof that this is what happened. And now I know that you are a cheater, you know, and that you're going to cheat on me multiple times, and you're going to even cheat on me and not use protection. You know, once I have some proof, then granted, then I'm out. But if I don't have any proof that, one, you cheated, two, the person was pregnant, and three, the other person that took that person's life, then I'm staying. Then I'm going to stay with you until, because you know, what happens in the dark gonna come to the light anyway. It's all going to come to the light. You know, in due time, it might not come automatically, you know, but to me, in my heart, I feel like it's going to come to the light. God's going to give you a sign and let you know exactly what it is.
Well, I agree with you on that, though. You understand? Because you do have a lot of people that go through this situation where, you know, they feel like, you know, if you marry, you know, you got to go with this person through thick and thin. You understand? And that's your vibe, you know, for poor, for better or worse. So I really believe that that's probably what the wife is thinking by, you know, even though that situation occurred, that he killed the girl and she was pregnant with his baby and a situation like that. But do you feel like she went through that situation because, you know, she could have been she was in the military, but she's in the military also a church going with women as well. That she stuck by him because she felt like, you know, that's what her vow to God, to stick by him. Do you feel like if a person is married and they don't stick by their husband or their wife due to the fact that regardless of what they've been through, do they feel like it's a sin because they spoke their vow to God at that time?
You know what? It's sad and very unfortunate, but a lot of people do feel that way. A lot of people feel like, you know, they'll be looked at a certain way because they did take vows, you know, to be with someone and it didn't work out. But my thing is in my heart, I believe that if you've done your best and you can't do anything else, you've done your best, you can't be giving your all trying to save something that somebody else doesn't want, because that's a losing battle. You know, I believe in my heart that if you do decide to leave, God already knows what's going on to me. You know, he knows what's going on and everything. When that's like you're in a relationship and one person is cheating and you sit and pray and asking God to show you some signs and show you some signs, and people believe that God showed them a sign. If God showed you a sign that this person wasn't meant for you and this person was going to do you wrong or they're doing you wrong, then why would you stay? Because you asked for the signs and you already got your confirmation. You know,
that's what I mean by. But
no, I was going to say that's why I say that you have to really know the person that you're trying to build with. You have to know the person that, you know, you want to marry. You really need to, like, do your homework and really get to know that person, you know, because you don't want to be getting married multiple times with multiple different people. And who wants to be married to a cheater, whether it's male or female?
I mean, you're actually right on that. You know, I'm not going to discriminate you on that. You understand? But, you know, like I say, feelings is uncontrollable. You understand? They are uncontrollable. You know, people, if you want to join in on a topic, I see you already on the line. All you got to do is press 1 to go on the air. If you want your PC, the number to call is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air and join in on a topic, or you could just stay on the line like everybody else and listen to the show. Now, I understand what you mean about that, but like they say, feelings is uncontrollable. You understand? And for some people, you know, it's hard for them to let go. You understand? And it could be the conversation. It could be they're getting piped down, right? You understand what I mean? And, you know, but it's a lot of vulnerable females out here as well. You know what I mean? It's males too. Don't get me wrong. It's males too. But in certain situations, you got to know when to let go and when to hold on. So my thing is, if you got a church-going female, that's why I say if she's a church-going female and she want to stick by her marriage, she's going to go with that person regardless of what they're going through because that was a vow.
Yeah, but when you say feelings are uncontrollable, I think that some people actually really have to understand. I mean, just me and my heart, I believe that people really have to understand the feelings that they're having. because sometimes people will lust for someone, you know, or sometimes people will enjoy the way the person is making them feel. But that doesn't mean that you want to, that you're in love with them or you want to marry them. That just means you're enjoying how that person makes you feel. And I think sometimes a lot of people get confused with the feelings when it comes down to being, you know, dating or in a relationship. I think that a lot of times people get it confused to me, you know, because there's a lot of different feelings that you can have. And that doesn't mean you're in love with that person or you want to marry that person or even that you want to build with that person. To me, you know, just my opinion, you know, but I think that the word feelings is, it's a big word that has a lot of different meanings behind it. A lot of different words express feelings. And I think that people really have to be in touch with the way they feel about themselves and the way they allow someone else to make them feel.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Just like you said, the way they allow someone else to make them feel. I mean, truthfully, a person only lets a person do what they want to let them do to them. You understand? And if you let a person see that they could get you to that point where they could make you miserable or, like, make you upset and do certain things to push that button, that's what they're going to do. But
right.
To me, you got to have a lot of self-esteem within yourself not to let a person push you to that level.
Right, but do you think the lady who is, like, standing, who stood by her husband with the example you gave, the lady that stood by her husband, do you think that that lady had high self-esteem?
Me, personally, I don't know. I believe she had a high self-esteem of herself. Because for any female, I'm going to say like this, for any female that now, remember, this lady that I said was in the military. This was on Lady Attraction that I was watching. She was in the military as well. He was home. He was also in the military, but he was home. So eventually she had to find out when they went to court about him having this affair with this lady and having a baby by her. Now, as far as I'm seeing it is, she probably stuck by him for the simple fact of those vows she made as being his wife, you know, for better or worse. You understand? Even though he did what he did. You got some females and some males that are forgive their spouse for cheating. Even when they have a baby with somebody else. You understand? You got some females who can't have a baby, and even though they may have cheated with somebody and had a baby, they still go with them. For the simple fact that they can't have a child, and they know this is their man's child. That's what they wanted. You understand?
Right.
It's like a completion of a family. So that's probably why she stuck
by. But how
was
that high self-esteem, though?
How is it? Because she could have been like, well, I'm not going to court. I'm not going to stick by her side. I'm not going to support him or anything. You understand? As far as that being her husband. You understand? She could have did that. You understand? And then but later on in the back of her mind, she could have been thinking, no, well, what really happened at the court case? You understand?
Right.
Who's to say this man, you know, who's to say this man even told her anything? We don't know if he told her anything. We could have just heard that he was going to court. You know, eventually, you know, he could have told her, well, I got to go to court. You know, I had an affair. You understand? And she stuck by him, you know, and he killed the baby. But I don't, me personally, I don't know what woman, even if they married or not, me truthfully, that's going to go by their man after they just found out he killed somebody. You understand? That's something real big, you know, to deal with in a situation.
I don't know. I just think that maybe, I don't know, wasn't there a song, Cheaper to Keeper? Wasn't that a song? I don't know why that just came to my mind, but wasn't that a song that was out? Yeah, it was a song from back in the day. Yeah. Maybe she's
cheap. Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, not to throw it off topic, but this thing. I remember there was a song that was like, it's cheaper to keep her. And just by listening to the title, maybe it's cheaper to keep him. But I don't think that that's high self-esteem, because I think that any real woman, a woman that's in touch with her feelings, her emotions, and, you know, just like her activity alone, I don't think a female would allow someone, or male, I don't think either one would allow someone to treat them like that and still be able to stay. if they had high self-esteem. I think that they would love themselves enough than to go through all this trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what I want you to do for me, I want you to give your final thought on this topic for the real fact. If you have another segment coming on, I want you to give your final thought on this topic.
I was having fun. Okay. I was enjoying myself. Well, I think as far as my final thought, I think that at the end of the day, I think that if you have the communication intact, you know, with your mate, I think that there should be no secrets. I think that you should be able to tell that person any and everything. You know, if the communication is on the up and up, I think that there's no reason to lie about anything. And if someone does try and hit on you and it's one of their friends or whatever the case may be, I think that you owe it to the person that you're with to tell them about it out of respect for them. So respect yourself and respect your mate at the same time.
Wow. Okay. I want to thank you for that. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us on this topic for tonight.
You're welcome.
My people's on the line. I want y'all to stay on the line because we have up-and-coming artists. G-I-T-O in the building. Great inspiration to others. And when I say his tracks is fire, they fire. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fire, baby!
What's up?
Montego!
Welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have up and coming artist G.I.T.O. G.I., welcome to the show.
Mr. Riley, Chief, how you doing?
Yeah, what's going on? I ain't know what to call you. I ain't know what I'm going to call you. G, I ain't know what to call you. I, G, O. So I was like, you know.
Yeah, I have you on for me.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us because, you know, I look at some things. I should be doing a lot of things, you know what I mean? And, you know, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. But what I want you to do is let the people know what G-I-T-O stands for and how did you come up with the name?
GITO stands for the great inspiration of others. You know, the name just came to me. You know, it was sent universally from God. But
Okay, great inspiration for others. Now, is that something that just came to your mind, or was it something where you was like, you know what? I'm liking the way this sounded. Is that something that just came to your mind?
I was actually in the studio one day recording some music, and I had a friend of mine that was always around me, you know, for this, like, you know, season, reasons, and lifetime. I had a friend he was a seasonal friend, and he just came with the acronym for GITO, and he called it God's Inspiration to Others, and I just took it as the good inspiration to others and ran with it.
Wow. Now, I see you an artist, you a songwriter, you're a music producer, an engineer, a film director, entrepreneur, and a youth motivator. Tell us about all that. Fill us in on that.
All those titles that I hold, you know, that's me challenging myself and never putting a limit on myself, you know, and not saying that there's nothing I can't do. Because I feel there's nothing that I can't do in this world, you know. I feel I can do whatever I put my mind to, you know. So before I go looking for a film director or a producer or a singer or whatever, you know, I'm gonna try my best to do my thing myself. You know, so
Okay, I see now you also recorded over 57 albums. And written and directed 3 films. No, I ain't gonna ask you to go through the albums, you know. But tell us a little bit about the films you directed.
The two films I directed. One was my first film was called Pray for the Day. You know, I was actually acting in that one too. As a young homeless young boy in the street, you know, I lost his parents, lost everything, but he kept his faith in God through it all. You know, and got through his trials and tribulations. You know, another movie I filmed was called The Get Back. You know, it was a nice urban film, you know. But I'm in the middle of films to open up the minds of the people, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what really made you start making the films.
Right. I wanted to give people visuals, you know. It's one thing to hit them with the music, but nowadays people like to see the visuals, you know. It's something about hearing and seeing that make people believe things, you know, and gets them interested, especially with the visual.
Now, your music. I heard your track. They are fire.
Appreciate
fire.
That.
I'm talking about, you know, and I got 4 of them, and all of them is fire.
Thank you.
Like, what's your inspiration to write, and who do you say inspired you to write? How long have you been writing?
It was, you know, as a young boy, it was just me growing up under musical influences all my life, you know. And the first, I never knew what music was if I would never ever heard Michael Jackson, you know. That was the first influence on my life to want to be an entertainer or, you know, make music. But what got me into writing as far as, you know, rap and hip hop, you know, I would have to say it was a lot of the, it was actually Mace when he first came out, you know.
Mm.
You know, when he came out, I was like, all right, this is what I want to do, you know.
So, yeah, you definitely. Now, the first thing I want to get into is 5 Lost Children. That right there is It's ridiculous.
That's a game changer.
Now, what made you come up with that title and that, you know, that specific single?
Well, when I do my music, you know, it's all on how the beat. If the beat wakes up my spirit, then I just let go. I let my spirit take over, and then that's how most of my songs come about. But, you know, every album that I do, I try to have a good concept behind it. That's what helps me to finish an album within a week or whatever, you know, because once I got the concept in the head, you know, it's a go. So Lord of Children, that album right there, is just strictly going to be for the youth, you know, straight mind opener. And when I got that beat, I listened to the beat, and the lyrics was all in the beat. I just took the lyrics out and just made it happen. Like magic.
Now, do you produce your own beats, or do you have random producers producing your own beats?
I produce my own beats, and I do have random producers as well.
But what I want to do right now, I want to get into that single, Five Lost Children, all
right? Right. No. It's not called Five Lost Children. It's just Lost Children.
Oh, it's just Lost Children.
It's a track on the CD. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because it was a five then. That's why I said five Lost Children.
Right. You mean the five on the CD. Yeah, it's just Lost Children, man.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to get into that right now.
Lost children,
okay. All right. Lost Children. All right. We definitely going to keep it like that. All right, Dons and Divas. There's a Beggar by G.I.T.O. Excuse me. Great inspiration to others. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Here's a story about a young girl, true and all, been through it all. She was only 16, but swore she knew it all. No family, no one to call, in the world she's lost. Skipping school, letting all the boys inside the drawers. Getting higher, more than weed, I'm talking coke and speed. She feels school is something that she don't really need. She barely reads and writes, running with them thieves at night. Sleeping with grown men in search of a sweeter life. She sells her body for a sweet price. One sniff for that blow and she's in paradise. She wants to find herself, but has no insight. At night she cries for help, cause she don't understand life. At least the life she lives. What kind of life is this? For a young girl whose life is priceless. Precious as a jewel, but here's the sad news. She died of AIDS, another gone too soon.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up. It's the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering when she will be here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not. She's gone.
He wakes up every morning after a good stretch and yawning, ready to face the trials and tribulations of the day. He feels his family doesn't love him cause he's gay. No one accepts him except for the ones he's sexing. He gets bullied in school, the kids treat him cruel. He wants to end it all but not sure what he should do. His heart is filled with blues, he has nothing to lose. Still he dresses in high heel shoes. With his long hair, lipstick and pretty jewels, it makes him to stay him and not change for them. So misunderstood, somebody pray for him. All alone in this world, no one to take him in. I pray to God and make a way for him. He wants it all to end, though it's hard to overcome the situations that he's in. Because he loves men, who are we to label that as sin?
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, And for a moment you can hardly breathe. Wondering when she she's not, 'cause she's gone, 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 gone.
Mom and dad had a little baby girl, but the daddy wanted to be in a little baby's world. So she grew up confused, thinking to herself, why daddy ain't wear them shoes to put on his feet to walk her to school. The other kids' fathers did it, that was cool. She cried so much tears she could have made a pool. She felt this pain all through grade school. Father's Day came, she wrote, I hate you. When that karma come, Jesus can't save you. Her conscience saying, your dad probably hates you. Show love to his son so he looks like an angel. On Facebooks and pics, it's all smiles. When she sit on the other side, it's all frowns. Now her little heart damaged, thinking to herself, will he care if I vanish? Mommy, why my daddy don't love me? Then her conscience say, probably think you ugly. Big day for her graduation. She texts him, are you coming? Please don't have me wait. Don't have me wait. Don't have me wait.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, the waking up is the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe. Wondering when she
serious right there. That is serious. Now, wow. I'm like stuck now. What made you actually do those? Because you're sending out a message. And that's what, you know, like I said, I don't have people wanting MC Shan. I don't have Grand Poobah, Cuban Link, Silver Fox, Grandmaster Cash, you know, Papa Wu. And that's what they're talking about. You know, a lot of artists out nowadays is not sending a message. You actually sending a strong message on that. What actually made you do that? You know, and those three messages you sending is deep, and that's realistic what's going on in the world today. So, what made you actually do those three specific messages out there like that?
Well, those are real topics that are happening right now. You know, in the environment that I live in. You know, and it's just a bunch of young children nowadays that's running wild, you know, because there's not too much parental guidance out here, you know, and not too many know their way. And a lot of them are too much fear in them, you know. There's no love going around, you know. So with this song right here, I was just trying to open up the hearts and the minds of people to bring them back to a conscious level, because it's like everyone is floating off of illusions, you know, things that don't really exist. You know, with the music that's going on today, so this is what separated me from everyone else, and this is why I am the great inspiration for others. You know, part of my duty to make songs like this and into the minds and hearts of people.
I definitely feel you. Listen, my line is flooded. To speak to GICO, greatest inspiration to others. Press 1 to go on the air. Or you can stay on the line and hear the show. If you're on your PC, the number to call 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. Like I told you, my man, he's fire. You have to have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on, all right?
All right.
Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Nick Dream.
Yo.
Are you there? All right, yeah, I got names. I just like to say caller. Nick Dream, what's going on?
Ain't nothing much, man. That's a nice old lady right there.
You're breaking up a little, Nick. Please, come back to that again.
You can hear me now?
Okay, that's Nick Dream, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. GITO is on the line. Go ahead.
Yo, Chino, what's good, baby?
My guy, what's good?
My God, man, that's a good thing. You know, he's doing beautiful things right now with this music.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the good music you're putting out for us.
Right,
all
right.
The production you're doing. You know,
appreciate that.
You got the snow. You know what I'm saying? You're pushing your artists out the right way.
Exactly. For the world, you know, we're coming for the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
We definitely need this new music. So,
right,
right. What do you have next?
Exactly. Hey, by the way, this is Mr. Dean. This is one of my artists on the All Legal Business. You know?
Oh, okay. But so that's one of the artists you're dealing with. How did y'all, like, meet up?
What?
How did you meet up how did you and Mick Dream actually meet up for you to know get this artist with you?
Yeah, we grew up together in the community. We lived in the same community. You know, so we grew up together.
Yes. You know, I heard a couple of Jito Rhymes, his CD. He let me hear one of his CDs, and it inspired me to start writing. You know what I'm saying? He'd make good music, so I was like, oh, man. And I just, you know, took a pen in the pad to see how that went. We worked magic, and ever since then,
right.
Doing music.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you got to do it, because, like, nowadays, you know, that's why, you know, me and a couple of other people, you know, we like to help artists, push artists in a further extend in the music industry. Although I hear something going on in the background, it's like real loud. It's like real loud in the background.
Right, right.
Sound like the more people can see it. Hello?
Yo, we good?
Yeah, that was, I think that was Mick Dream. I think he's in a area or something where it's like a lot of up in the background.
Right. I think he's gone. I think he's off now. Yeah.
But yeah, you see, and that's the good thing, you know what I mean? Because as long as you get those artists that's sending messages out, you know, a lot of artists nowadays are not doing that. They're doing a materialistic thing because they see that's what's going on. But in order to bring the independent artists out, like yourself and all that, that's sending out messages and people, you know, and I'm not trying to brag, but like myself and these other blog talk stations and, you know, the independent labels that's helping all the artists out, that's the main thing to get them out there. You know what I'm saying?
And then again, you know, you can't fault the artist that's not putting that kind of music out, because you can only give what you have. You know what I'm saying? So if they don't have those kind of messages in them, that kind of love in them, then, you know, you can't expect them to give that to the world. You know, you can't fault them, though.
Now I see you did something into fashion as well.
Right.
Tell us about that. Fill us in. Like I said, you're doing a lot of things. You know, fill us in on that.
You know, man, I mean, my whole plan is to stay busy and productive every day of my life, you know, so ideas, as they come across my head, you know, I snatch onto them and I just manifest to make them come out. You know, I turn nothing into something, you know. So one day, a logo for clothing just came into my head. Actually, I was with a female at the time. It's 3 a.m. I had to leave her house because I got this vision in my head just to go home and draw that out, you know? And then that's what made me want to start with the clothing thing, too.
Yeah. Wow. Now, let me ask you. If you had to choose between the music, the fashion, the film directing, which one would it be? The youth motivator, which one would it be and why? If you had to choose just one.
If I had to choose one, well, really, you know, to me, they're all art. You know, I'm an artist before anything, you know. But the music is definitely where I am, you know. Everything else is just an extension of my art, you know what I mean? It's just expanded, you know, of the creative energy that I have, you know. But the music would definitely be the goal, because when I'm into the music, time just don't exist, you know?
Now, I see you did music from before. What's going to make your music different from the music you did in the past compared to the music that's out that you're producing now, that you're doing now?
The music I'm doing now is a blend. I'm blending in all of my old styles from back in 1998 and so on. I'm bringing them all back right now. So it's a mixture of everything right now. This is what makes it more incredible today. And what separates from the music today is that, you know, I take nothing away from the South, you know, but right now, what I'm doing is redefining the East Coast sound, because everyone can tell what the down south sound is like, what the West Coast sound is like. But it's like somewhere down the line, the East Coast sound got kind of, you know, distorted. So my plan is to bring that sound back. You know, that's more of the sound of the 90s. That's the music I came up on. You know, so that's what for me. You know, 90s style hip hop, R&B, whatever it is. You know, it's just a 90s style feel. So what I plan to do is mix the 90s feel with today's feel. Like how Puff did back in the 90s when he mixed the 80s with the 90s feel. You know, and then he was just winning all year. It's a formula.
Yeah.
It's a formula. That's why my CD is undeniable formula 98. I'm taking it back to the 90s style and mixing it in with today's style. You know, but it's straight.
Now,
it's cool.
Okay. Now, I never did this for any artist, but your stuff is so fire. I want to try to get all four of your songs in.
Wow, that would be incredible.
I never did that for artists, but like I said, just the music is fire.
Appreciate
so,
that.
Like, I want to get in Tropical, I want to get in Up and Down, and I want to get in One Hell of a Night.
Right. All right.
Exactly. They all are different, they all versatile in the format of it. You understand?
Right.
But right now, I want to get into One Hell of a Night. Tell us about that.
Cool. One Hell of a Night is like a big one night stand on the chart. One Hell of a Night.
You were in on that. And now let me ask you, is that single, is that all you or is it somebody else with you?
I'm on the first two verses. I got two of my other artists. One is on the chorus and one is on the last verse. Rick Green is on the last verse and D-Dot is on the chorus. And I'm on the first two verses.
Alright, so what we're going to do right now, we're going to get into One Hell of a Night. Like I said, my phone lines is on fire. Y'all stay right there. Coming up right now is my man G.I.T.O. with another banger, One Hell of a Night. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
When you gon' let me hold the cake? Bitch, you must be out your mind. Flow sick, it ain't mostly, cause I'm so lit up. I be the one that the fools hit up, pick it up. Haters ain't got this, that's why they so bitter. You be the pre-show, I be the boost hitter. Lethal injection, dosage, dope giver. No rejections when I'm stroking up. We done sucks and now I'm ghost nigga. On to the next, got chicks on post nigga. You don't get none cause you's a broke nigga. Don't come quick cause you's a old nigga. Such stamina, I be stamina. Send your chick over here, but I damage her.
Yeah, I can tell from your eyes what you thinking. I know you really like my style. Pull up all eyes on me. I'ma show you how I do it, get down. Come on and roll with me. Big crazy girl, I'ma show you one hell of a night. Fly with me. Get nasty girl, guarantee that your body ride.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 in the morning, girl, I don't really care, just long as we get it on. I don't wait at this long, my dick is this strong. The way I give it to you, you gon' think I did you wrong. Don't worry about a song, I hit you with something long. Hit the right spot, how you're screaming like a horn. Tearing that dick long, all up in your guts, I'm full. Your ribs up, stick, stiff, I lift them to stuff. Suck on them shits till you feel you're about to bust. Don't worry, this ain't love, this is lust. So by the morning, we can get back to doing us. Baby girl, you a plus. Sort of like drugs, the way you're giving me a rush. Take your time, baby girl, don't rush. Matter of fact, he's up, I'm about to eat rough.
Baby, I can tell from your eyes what you're thinking. I know you really like my style. Pull up all eyes on me, I'ma show you how I do to get down. Come on and roll with me. Get crazy, girl, I'ma show you one hell of a night. Fly with me.
take off. Kick in every soul, push top off. Flow is stupendous, bound to get bingy. You wear the Prada, I wear the Fendi. Acres are green like a farmer. I was the one smoking weed with Obama. Getting money is the only thing I live for. So what you had kids for? You ain't ready for the throne, that's a takeover. You need a brand new style. Makeover, silly with the flow, sit silly with the flow. Semi-automatically, semi on the flow. Kick down the door, waving the bow.
That joint right there, that's a definite club banger.
Definitely,
ain't no
definitely.
Question about it. Now, what made you decide to come out with that song and that title?
Well, at the time I made that song, I was in the making. I just finished up an album, and it was mostly, you know, underground. It had an underground sound to the whole CD, and it's been a while since I made something that was kind of commercial or clubbish. And I was like, you know what, it's time for me to get into one of those again, you know. And I found the beat, and then from there on, it was just magic. It was a hell of a night, you know. That's where it came from, you know. Just the urge, having that drive to make a commercial track after not making one for so long. Yeah.
Wow. Now, how did you meet up? You said the guy name is Mitch, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Excuse me?
The guy who's featuring on that track with you.
Oh, the guy on that track, his name is Rich. Rich Green. The one that called you was Mitch Green. His name is Rich Green.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you link up with him to do that collaboration? Was it somebody you knew back then, or did you just...
Yeah, he's another young boy that I grew up with in my building. I didn't actually grow up with him because I'm a little older than him. But he knew I was making music for a long time. You know, he came home from prison, you know, and my influence kind of got on him. So it led him to rapping. And then he has this sort of sound, you know, that nobody really has right now. And when I was doing that track, I met him all over it before I even got him on it. So I called him up, and he just got on it. Imagine.
Now, if you had the chance to perform with any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why?
If I go and perform, I'm performing with my ALG family. Really. Like, there's nobody right now I really would, you know, want
to perform. So, ain't nobody that you would like to perform with, like Jay-Z, Kanye, 50?
Nah.
If you had the opportunity to perform with anyone in this, that?
I want to perform with him. I open up a tour for him. But, you know, there's nobody
that would even open up. Open up. Who would it be?
I'll open up for anybody, you know? As long as it's for the exposure, I open up for anybody. But, you know, I'm not picking no artists, but I'm not really in that vibe right now. I'm just trying to get it with me and my family. That's who I would put the stage with and collab with, you know. Because a lot of artists need that, you know, the famous features for help, you know. And I'm just that kind of artist where I feel I won't need a famous feature at all, you know. These guys that are out right now, you know, they're doing their things. They had their turn, their opportunities came, their shots came. Some of them still going, some of them are not, you know. And me and my people, we coming up, you know, it's more like our turn, you know.
And you know what? I got to tell my team to applaud you on that. Because you know why? You know why? I never heard as long as I've been doing GQ Palace, I never heard an artist say what you said. And that goes to show how serious you is about the business. You understand?
Right.
Other artists, I'm not downporting them. You got other artists that pick, you know, like I said, 50, or they might pick Jay-Z or Kanye.
Right.
And the fact
right.
that you said, you know, they out there already. So, you know, who am I open up a performer with them, you have to deal with your team. And a lot of artists don't understand that. You understand? We have
right.
another caller on the line for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, good evening. I don't know who that artist is, but I just tuned in a couple of minutes ago, and the last song that was played, I was listening to, and I thought I was listening to my radio for a minute, but I was listening to GQ Palace. I love the song.
What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean you thought you were listening to your radio for a minute? This is a radio station.
Let me rewind. I'm in my car right now, and I'm using my headset. So I found myself, you know, I'm paying attention to the traffic, and I forgot that I was on Blog Talk Radio, so I'm nodding my head, and I'm like, wait a minute, oh my God, that's not my radio. I reached to turn my radio down while I was talking. I'm like, that's Blog Talk. That's a beautiful. I like it. I like the music. I like it.
Thank you.
I'm just
tuning in.
GQ Palace, it's doing big things. I love it.
All right.
Continued success. I will definitely stay tuned and listen to some more music and look you up online and all that stuff. Has he given his information yet so that we can find him?
No, he didn't give it yet. He's definitely going to give it at the end of the show. He's going to give y'all everything. Because we're
going
to get another one of his. Go ahead.
What is the name? Is it a group or is it just one guy?
You can shout it out now.
Yeah,
shout it out now. We're going to do it at the end of the show. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. You can shout out. Yeah, shout out the information now. And you can do that at the end of the show as well.
All right. The name is Gitto, Gitto. You know, you can see a lot of videos on YouTube. My channel is Last of the Great Ones. You know, that's all together, no spaces. Last of the Great Ones.
All right.
SoundCloud under Gitto Music. Gitto Music. SoundCloud.
Gitto?
Gitto. Great inspiration to others.
All right. Okay, I got it. Okay. Continued success.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, you too.
All right.
Now, G, I want to get into another one of your singles. Like I said, we're going to play all four of your joints tonight. A lot of it's on fire and everything. All right. So now I want to talk to you about Tropical. Tell us about that one.
Ooh, Tropical.
Ooh, yeah, I heard that one too. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mission Tropical, you know what that's about. You know, that's what the weather's like out here. It's real tropical. But, that track, that just blew my mind. You know, right there is just self-explanatory with a mixture of the 90s with right now, you know. And a great information on that song was P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. You know, the 90s Puff. You know, I got in that kind of zone when I did that song. And, you know, salute to him. You know, he inspired that song right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I want you to introduce that song.
Well, this is my new single off the new up and coming LP, Undeniable Formula 98. It's called Tropical. Listen, and you get a drift of what it's about. Let it rock.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Tropical.
You got it up, got your bobbing with your hands up. Step up in the spot, plug the fence up. I make it hot, what you got? Oh yeah, the same old guns, money and all that. You step the game up and all that. In fact, yeah, what you call that? What do you think that's where you ball at? You said you shot, so where them all at? Yeah, all that. heard you was a runaround. You know when niggas give orders and make you run around. Cause you was a small dog, lost in the town and saw now. Cause you just showed your car to start, but life is hard. And you know what it's like when you roaming at night and you see something that you like. And you thinking that's nice, so you can do the grind, but you ain't trying to pay that price. You can do the time, but it ain't that life. The system ain't that right, but you betray that life. I'm at you, opened up a book, grabbed a pen and made that life. How does one define you? Who the fuck's beside you? Think you're the one, I guess I must remind you. I'll explain exactly what it is that I do. I'm the one that supplies you with limits that surprise you. Here's what I would do if I was you. I would do survival tools and make survival moves. It's obvious, you're about to lose. Try to stop the man that's unstoppable. You make it happen, enough of trouble, enough of trouble. Believe I'm taking all you got. Think you're wicked, no you're not. Can you kick it all you can? When no bells on your pants, fucking up your stance. Don't go fucking up your pants. For the angels in the grants, Bendy's in the fans, see the niggas in your camp. Chickens just wanna land. For the money we fam, doing all that you can, proving all that we can. Don't let me ruin your plans. But if you and your man was cool as a fan, then I was sitting too to you win. Snapbacks and tattoos, that's what you do to your skin. Butterflies on your face, but that's the mood you was in. What you crying about now, man? Till I'm rosy and chin. New York, we finna do it again and again. Go ahead and put the word out. Tell the world it's him again.
You really serious with it. You definitely taking it to a whole nother level.
Right,
you
right.
Definitely taking it to a whole nother level. Now, Tropical, you said that's something that you're getting ready to pull out.
Right.
That's a that right there is like that's another club banger right there.
Another
club banger. Yeah. GQ Palace Radio. Now, I want to inform you, you know, we do mixtapes and everything, so we definitely want to put that, you know, One Hell of a Night and something else on a mixtape.
Hey, we got my blessing,
you know,
man, no doubt.
All right, because, you know, we send them out and everything and all like that. That way people get, it's a promotional CD, but it's a mixtape CD that we send out and we push out to everybody. You know what I'm saying?
All
that's right there. Exactly. Now, have you ever came down? Have you done any shows lately? Did it ever come to the point of you being like stage fright? Did you get to that point yet?
Stage fright?
Yeah.
Nah.
Cause you know,
I mean,
some people get stage fright. They throw the black glasses on, you know, to cover their eyes and everything.
Right,
you know.
Right. Back in the day, I used to get that, but you know, the more I started performing, the more I got real comfortable. So now it's like, you know, before hitting the stage, I might feel something in the stomach. You know, that's natural. You know, a little butterfly. But it's like once I hit that stage, there's no turning back, you know? So I just got to give it my all. And that's how I do it.
I feel you. Now, what's your inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist?
What's my inspiration and goals?
Yeah. What's your inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist?
Meaning what inspires me as I become an
like
artist?
Like, what's your inspiration? What plans you got? What's your goals where do you see yourself in like another 2 or 3 years? What you plan on doing, you know, let's say you out there. What's your goals? What's your next step? What you plan on doing?
What goals
do you want to achieve as an artist? What goals are you looking to achieve as an artist?
As an artist, you know, one main goal, serious goal to me is maintaining my freedom, you know, my independence, you know, and the freedom to create the music that I want to create, you know, and not be pressured, you know, like a lot of artists. And the plan is to have longevity, you know, because I feel I can do it, you know, until I'm dead and gone. Not meaning that I will, you know, because I have a lot of other business ventures in mind, you know, outside of music. But it's way more than music. Music is just one plateau of my artistry, you know. So my artistry expands, you know. Expansion leads to elevation.
I definitely feel you on that. Now, you're doing a lot of things. Doing a whole lot of things. How do you balance everything out? You know, the film directing, the music, you know, the producing the track, the artist that you have coming with you. You know, you're an entrepreneur. How do you balance everything out?
It's a time thing with everything, you know. When it comes to the music, you know, I get the urge to drop a CD, you know, every month. So it may take me a week to finish one CD. Once that's done, I'm on to the next project, whether it's a film. You know, I'm actually going to start shooting on my next film second week in July for a little brother. So the CD's out the way, as you can see now. Next step is to get the film done, you know. Then I make room for myself to get to the next project and keep it going, you know.
Now let me ask you. Now, as far as getting a record deal, would you prefer something independent or something major?
Well, as a deal, you know, all I was really looking for was what I said I needed was a distribution deal, you know, a nice distribution deal. Or if I was to be with any major label, you know, it'd be more of a partnership than me becoming an artist under them, because I can't even label myself as an artist, you know. I'm more of an entity, more of a brand. Yeah.
So you're mainly looking for the distribution.
Right.
Okay. Because I ain't gonna lie, but Lost Children, One Hell of a Night, Tropical, all those is just fire. Now, like I said, I never played the artist. I never played 4 tracks for an artist on Digital since started. I never played 4 tracks from an artist, but that's how much of a flame you got going on. You understand what I mean? So it was like I had to play all 4. I had to let them see all 4 because my lines is on fire.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No doubt. Now, let's talk about Up and Down. Tell us about that.
Up and Down. Yeah. That's a song I'm sure a lot of females and males can relate to. You know, it was a real situation I was going through with a female that I was with at the time. You know, and then the chorus is saying, you keep going up and down. It seems like there's no love around, you know. Y'all may think y'all love each other behind love, but it's evident that there's really no love there, because the fighting, the bickering, the arguing, the jealousy, the insecurities, you know. There's no love that lies under that, you know. Insecurities and all that, you don't lie under love. That's all shit, you know. So up and down, it's like a roller coaster ride, you know. I'm sure a lot of people should be able to relate to that.
All right, we're going to get into that right now. Here's the 4th track from D.I.C.O. Great inspiration to others. He is doing big things. And if you think the last 3 was fire, wait till you hear this one. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, love and entertainment.
And it's fire, baby!
Yeah.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Girl, we keep going up and down.
kid, you see there's no love around. I tried to make it work, kept your face with a smirk. You never let me in because the past hurts. So many broken hearts, I can see that that hurts. A little hug, a little love, I see that that works. A little love in the tub, they call the bath works. Take you to the bed, lay you on your back first. Spread your legs, let me eat my snack first. Let's wet the bed, or should I break your back first? Now you wanna fight, wanna blow the candle lights. Wanna blame it on me, always proving that you right. You wanna blow the night, that's what I don't like. You be going wrong and I think they be going right. I'm so disgusted with you, I can't do nothing with you. I'm sick of fussing with you, sick of cussing with you. But things be going good, you got another issue. That's why I ain't fucking with you. Before, doesn't mean I love you. If I'm having you, would I really be in trouble? You got him and him, that's what you call a couple. And this ain't a couple, this I don't even love you. Always lying, no wonder why I don't trust you. Always kept you close like a piece to a puzzle. Now I gotta let you go, set you free like a shuttle. Now you wanna fight, wanna blow the candle light. Wanna blame it on me, always proving that you're right. You wanna blow the night, that's what I don't like. You be going wrong when everything be going right. With you. I can't do nothing with you. I'm sick of fussing with you, sick of cussing with you. But things be going good, you got another issue. That's why I ain't fucking with you. On the phone, you always screaming out, how you wanna be alone? You wanna be alone, go ahead, leave my home. You done brought so much stress, I can't ease my dome. I'm trying to ease the load, just throw my keys and go. Take everything you came with, just leave it go. I should've put your ass out a week ago, cause you be switching up, straight flip mode. Look, now you wanna fight, wanna blow the candle light. Wanna put the blame on me, only proving that you right. You wanna blow the night, that's what I don't like. You be going wrong and everything be going right. I'm so disgusted with you, I can't do nothing with you. I'm sick of fussing with you, I'm sick of cussing with you. When things be going right, you got another issue. That's why I ain't fucking with you.
Said that was something from you and prior, so you just switched it up and put it into a whole song. That's something like, you know, like an R&B singer would do. So, and then if I'm not mistaken, you also write songs.
Right, also write songs too.
So you just hitting all the balls. You got the film directing going on. You got the clothing line going on. You got the artist with the music going on. You know, you speak to you a youth motivator. You understand?
There's a secret behind all that. You know, why I am what I am, because I have knowledge of self. I know who I am. When you know who you are, no one can tell you who you're not. You know, so if I choose to do this, do that, or whatever, because I know I have the ability to do that, you know? Powerful beyond measure.
I definitely feel you. Now, let me ask you, what's the next step for you?
The next step is to keep moving, stay busy and productive, you know, and let the universe unfold before my eyes, all the gifts and blessings it has for me. I'm going to stay on my path. That's the next step.
Now, do you have any shows coming up or anything like that?
Not at the moment. Like I said, I'm going to be filming my new film throughout the month of July. So, whatever comes around, if a show comes around, you know, my fans, those that tune in to me, know where to contact me or whatever, they'll know. But at the moment, no.
Well, I'm going to tell you this over the head. I'm definitely going to keep you informed because we got an event coming up July 14th. Coco Chanel going to be in the building. People Love to See, LaToya Times from Video City, Hot 97, Rough Riders. And I just recently found out from a man, we got some important people from some labels there as well that's looking for artists. You know, so I hope you're just going to them as, you know, distributor and all that, because ain't no way this music that you got should be sitting down. I'm going to keep it real with you, like my man the mayor said, hard body karate, you know, because the music that you got going on is something serious.
Appreciate that,
it's definitely something serious. Now, I don't know if you got a family and everything, but how does your family feel about everything that's going on, you know, in fact of you balancing everything out?
Wait, say that one more time. I think we got
good.
Say that one more time. Repeat that. I didn't hear you that good.
All right, your family, how does they feel about you, you know, doing so much? You know, because as you're doing so much, you know, you got to have time for the family. Do they stick by you? Do they support you? Because, you know, some family, they get a little jealousy going on, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as, you know, you're getting your grind on and you're doing what you got to do, they appreciate it. But, you know, sometimes they want that time. How do you deal with a situation like that, considering on the fact of everything that you're doing?
Well, me and my family, you know, we're really close. But for the ones that don't see me much or hear from me much, they understand what it is that I'm doing, and they understand that I'm not doing it just for me, I'm doing it for us, you know, so they respect it, and it's a lot of family and friends that do stand by me when I'm making my moves, you know, and it's sometimes I find myself by myself, but, you know, everyone understands, you know, what I'm trying to do, not trying, but, you know, trying is lying, what I'm doing, you know, everyone understands. Those that don't understand, you know, I don't know what to say, but for the most part, my family understands and support me fully. You know, they waiting for everything to pop off, you know. I'm so patient with it, but everybody, you know, it's time, but, you know, time is everything, you know. Everybody that came out this year, last year, they came out on time, you know.
Now, Now, where do you see your success, let's say, 2 years from now?
Where do I see it? Right now, I see it skyrocketing. I feel that the industry right now is open, you know, for the next up-and-coming artist to take it, you know, to take that position. And, you know, I've been doing, this is my 15th year right now, you know, so it's been 15 years I've been mastering my craft, you know, and I feel so ready. I am so ready. So in 2 years, I see something real, real good happen. A lot of dreams coming true. You know, a lot of non-believers becoming believers. You know, I always said to myself, you know, people that I've met in my life that heard my music and they feel the way they feel about it. I'm saying, imagine millions across the world if they had a whiff of just a little bit of my music, you know, what it would do to them, you know, how it would change their lives up, and who would be my fan base for the rest of my career, you know, because as long as you're giving, the world will take care of you. So when this artist that's not giving that good music no more, the world is not going to take care of them no more. But it's all about just giving, you know, and I make sure I'm giving me, my soul, to all of my music.
I definitely feel you. And I want you to know, it's been an honor having you on. And I ain't even gonna lie to you, when we leave out of your segment, we're gonna leave out with one hell of a night. But what I want you to do is let everybody know your information. Let them know what you got going on. Let them know where to put your singles. Let them know what you got going on YouTube. Let them know about your Facebook, your Twitter. Let them know about everything. Give them a shout out. Do all that.
All right. All right, once again, the name is G.I.C.O., the great inspiration for others. Twitter, you can find me, Jiddle Music, SoundCloud, Jiddle Music, Facebook, Jiddle Music, YouTube, Last of the Great Ones, email, All Legal Business, undeniable coming the end of July. Little brother being filmed in July, coming soon. We got the ALB Summer Takeover coming in August. We're working on that now. If you go to YouTube, you can check out the latest video from that. You know, once again, the YouTube channel is Last of the Great Ones. You can see a lot of work that I've put in throughout the years. You know, Kia Kia once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having me. GQ Palace Radio.
No doubt. And you know, let me tell you, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. Like I said, we're going to throw your joint on the mixtape. You know, send us those exclusives because, you know, we got 8 different episodes a week with 11 different hosts. So we can rotate them and all that. We definitely going to be rotating your tracks in the whole 9.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So,
and,
no doubt.
And one more thing. I will never forget where I heard it first. GQ Palace Radio.
No doubt, man. Good looking. But we definitely going to try to do what we can do. We definitely going to push you out to help, you know, get you out there fast, because there ain't no way he's going to be sitting down. Like I said, July 14th, by July 14th, you're going to hear something from me about it.
All right, that's a definite. I appreciate that, brother.
No doubt.
All right.
G-I-T-O, Johns and Divas. Great inspiration to others. What we going to do, we going to go out with G.I.T.O. track, One Hell of a Night, because it's so fire. But coming up next, we got Arthur Melissa P. I'm not going to say her last name, like I said before. Excuse me, but we're going to talk about her novel that she got out that's called Seductive Storms. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. And we're going out with my man, G.I.T.O., One Hell of a Night. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
You know why you never take a break? You gotta be on my grind. When you gon' let me hold some cake? You must be out your mind. Flow sick, it ain't mostly, cause I'm so lit up. I be the one that don't boost it up, pick it up. Haters ain't got this, that's why they so bitter. You be the pre-show, I be the boost hitter. Lethal injection, doses, dope giver. No rejections when I'm soaking up. We done sucks and now I'm ghost nigga. On to the next, got chicks on post nigga. You don't get none cause you's a broke nigga. Don't I come quick cause you's a old nigga. Such stamina, how I be cramming her. So your chick over here, but I damage her.
Can't tell from your eyes what you thinking. I know you really like my style.
O'clock, 3 in the morning, girl, I don't really care, just long as we get it on. I don't wait that this slow, my dick is this strong. The way I give it to you, you gon' think I did you wrong. Don't worry about a song, I hit you with something long. Hit the right spot, how you screaming like a horn. Tear that dick long, all up in your guts, I'm full. The ribs up, stick, stiff, I lift them to stuff. Suck on them shits till you feel you're about to bust. Don't worry, this ain't love, this is lust. So by the morning, we can get back to doing us. Baby girl, you a plus. Sort of like drugs, the way you're giving me a rush. Take your time, baby girl, don't rush. Matter of fact, he's up, I'm about to erupt.
Maybe I can tell from your eyes what you're thinking. I know you really like my style. Pull up, all eyes on me. I'ma show you how I need to get down. Come on and roll with me. Get crazy, girl. I'ma show you one hell of a night. Fly with me. Get nasty, girl. Guarantee I feel that body right.
Rich here and you know I go off. Just hit the hay, so excuse my cough. Too fly, I'm about to take off. You're getting heavy, so put top off.
Baby, I can tell from your eyes what you're thinking. I know you really like my style.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. Like I said, that was my man, G.I.T.O. He's doing big things. Never had the palace ever play an up-and-coming artist four tracks, but he's doing it so big, we had to fill him in on that joint right there because he's doing big things. Excuse me. Coming up now, we have Kira Melissa Pigeon. I hope I'm saying her name right, but we're going to get her on the air right now. Kira, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi.
Hello. Did I say your name right?
Yes, Kira Melissa Pigeon.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Now,
yeah.
I really want to thank you for joining us. Now, you are an author that's doing big things right now.
I'm trying
you are
to.
You are doing very big things. And I want to talk about your novel, Seductive Storm.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to let the audience, my listeners, know a little something about yourself. Fill them in on everything that's going on.
All right. I'm married, 28.
Yeah, throw that in first.
Let everybody know. I've been writing since age 20. I started off with poetry, and it kind of just escalated into, you know, bigger things. And I would say what started me writing is just life in general. I gravitated towards it. Writing is my therapy. This is how I get things that's going on in my life out, and I can just express myself and say anything that I need or want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been kind of shy, so and not really being heard, so writing became my voice. And it's one thing I don't think many people know about me. When I was younger in elementary, I had to go to a speech class because they said I had like a lazy tongue. I wouldn't move my tongue when I talked. So I had to go to speech classes and stuff. So I've always had a problem with kind of voicing myself and being heard. So I kind of just gravitated towards writing and being able, I was like, if nobody will listen to me, then they'll read what I have to say.
Okay. Now, like my line is flooded. I want to just give them a brief description of this novel where you could fill us in.
Okay.
It's a lonely, unhappy wife by the name of Terry J. Porter falls in love with a man that turns out to have not such a clean record of past, which doesn't become a problem until his past returns, but she never felt so close to someone like him. Someone like she does with him. Tell us about this. This sounds very interesting. And it sounds something like going on right now. So fill my listeners in on... I'm kind of like excited about it because, you know, I'm definitely going to get it. I see it's on Kindle and everything. So fill them in on that.
Okay, so you have the character Terry. She is married. She's a married woman. And basically she thought when she met her husband Mike, she thought that she had found the best thing that could ever happen to her, you know. And basically they go through normal situations that married couples go through. But it's kind of stuff that she feels that they shouldn't be going through. And her husband is kind of sometiming, you know. Sometimes he's, like, all over her, loving her, and then sometimes he's acting like, you know, he's single. But the thing she doesn't really know for sure is her husband, Mike, is he got his own stuff, other stuff going on, which becomes they get all mixed up in that. Basically, Terry finds she meets a new guy, and he's younger than her, and like it's just kind of a breath of fresh air for her, you know. Kind of, you know, he's listening to her, and she's laughing, smiling. You know, she enjoys his company. But she still wants to work on her marriage, so it takes her a minute before she really decides to, like, okay, like, maybe my marriage is not what I really want. But Terry goes through, I would say, like, a transformation. She learns about herself. She becomes more, she finds her independence again from, you know, after she got married, she stopped working, and she hoped that she was going to have kids and, you know, just be a loving wife, mother. But she can't get pregnant. Like, she's having trouble getting pregnant, so it just wasn't going the way she expected. You have Mike, her husband, who has an ex-girlfriend. And she comes into the picture. He's basically kind of living a double life, you would say, but he's trying to keep a secret from Terry. Robin is blackmailing Mike. So she's lying to him. He's giving Robin money, stuff like that, you know. And then Robin has a baby daddy, though. So her baby daddy ends up showing up, coming back into the picture. His name is Raheem. And it's just, you know, it's just about relationships, love, and there's a lot of other stuff going on. You got some crime going on in there, too. it's
okay.
A lot, yeah. It's a lot going on, and...
Go ahead.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just, it kind of opens you up, and you start thinking about, like, you know, it's real situations that could happen, you know, to people. You can get set up, and people could be lying to you. You don't know what's really going on. But also it's about finding true love. It's about finding that right person that you can just, no matter what you've gone through, if you got that right person, like, you can make through anything, you know. And that kind of goes into part two, because the Dr. Storms, I leave off, and a lot of unanswered questions. So I'm in the middle of finishing, and I'm gonna finish part two. Will be done this year, though. But I'm in the middle of working on part two, and part two of the Dr. Storms is titled Guilty of Love, Crime of the Heart. And it just gets deeper. It just gets deeper. And
okay.
You find out more stuff.
Oh. Now, let me ask you, how did you get interested in writing this particular novel, and what kind of research did you do for your novel?
This novel in particular came about because I was talking to a good friend of mine, and we were just talking about just life and just talking about certain stuff, and it's dear to my heart, you know. I would say that it's a lot of stuff that's based on, you know, truth. It's a fiction story, but it's a lot of truth in it. And and it just kind of happened. I really didn't think I was going to turn it into, I didn't think I was going to actually do it. I've always been like, can I really write a book? Like, I don't know. Like, so I kind of just put myself out there. As far as research, I think it was just basically just stuff that I really know. This book, I didn't really have to do too much research. It was just, it came natural. And you're doing self-publishing, that's a lot. Self-publishing is not as easy as you would think. So, but I have found, I'm comfortable at the moment with using Kindle Direct Publishing. It's simple, but it's definitely, writing a book is not as easy as you would think. You just want to sit down and just write it, but it doesn't come to you like that. I could have it in my head, but it's hard to get it out onto paper and really get people to see the story that you want them to see. And this is fun because this story played out in my head like a movie. That's how it happened. I would go to sleep dreaming about this and then wake up. And I would, in my dreams, I would see, what the characters going to say to each other. And, you know, so I would wake up, and grab my phone or something, something that I could write down with what I just thought of, you know. And that's how I've been doing this book. That's how it happens. It's crazy. That's how it happens. And you know, I would love for it to become a movie because I see it that way. That's how I see it. But it's been fun. And I just hope that, you know, everyone who reads it gets, you know, the concept behind the story, and they can find a character that they enjoy. And I hope that I'm portraying what I'm trying to get out there. So.
Now, let me ask you, what's a typical working day like for you? Is it like where, you know, like when you write, do you set a daily writing goal for yourself, or do you just
go ahead? It kind of depends. I'm definitely a emotional person. I write off of my emotions. So it depends on how I'm feeling. But sometimes I set myself goals because if I don't, it might take me forever to get it done. So right now, I'm hoping that I'm going to finish part two by August. That's what I want to do. And I do that just to push myself. And it's crazy because I don't have to give myself a goal, but I feel like I need to. It makes me feel more professional about what I'm doing. And a typical day is that I kind of just kind of zone out. I focus in on what it is. And I feel like each character, I try to feel what they would be feeling. And I have to get into that moment of that scene. I have to get into that moment and feel it. And I write, my words come from emotions. That's the best way I can explain it. And that's how it comes out. So sometimes it takes me a minute. If the character is supposed to be sad or something, and I'm way too happy that day or something, I might be able to really work on the book at that moment. But sometimes I can just, you know, I can just knock it out. But sometimes it's a process, and I might start and write one sentence, and then I have to stop. So it's definitely a kind of thing that kind of I might wake up out of my sleep and okay, I gotta write, or you know. So it just comes and goes.
Now, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at another part in this book, and it says,
uh-huh,
every husband, Mike, is not the man who she thought she married, and a woman by the name of Robin Ellis turned out to be trouble for him, along with her baby daddy, Raheem.
Yes.
Books are so interesting. And my listeners, as you listen in, make sure you get this book because it is serious. Tell us about that part. I know I went from point D back to point A, but as I'm looking, I'm wow. It's incredible.
Okay,
tell us about that little scenario like this.
Basically, Raheem didn't want Robin because she got pregnant. He wasn't ready to do that. He wasn't ready for the family and all that, and she was tripping, so he didn't want that. So Robin left, now she's pregnant. She ends up hitting Mike back up. And they used to date, but, you know, she had left, and then he got married to Terry. So she shows back up and is this is yours. This is your baby. So, he is like thinking like, oh my God, I need to, you know, he is a good guy, so he's gonna take his responsibility, but he don't want his wife Terry to find out. So basically, Robin is just blackmailing him, just getting whatever she wants. And, you know, and to some point, like, she might just want him back, you know. She just wants to do whatever she wants to do. And Raheem shows back up, finds out about Mike, and he's like, yeah, I got to get rid of Mike. So Raheem says, Martha, and that's how.
Wow.
And I don't want to give back the other part of that.
Kevin. I don't want you to give them all the information now.
You have to find out what happened to Mike.
You got to find out what happened to Mike. Because this book, as I'm reading, I'm like, wow, okay. This book is something serious. Now, what I want to ask you, what made you name it Seductive Storms?
You know, it was random. It was when seductive in my mind, I was thinking about like sensual, like sexual, and I was just thinking like, you know, as far as like I felt like everybody was kind of being seductive towards each other because they were trying to get each other's attention. Like somebody in the story, one character is trying to get another character or whatever. So that's kind of how it came about. And the storm part, it's just a raining. A storm of this craziness. It's a storm of like love and cheating and all that. It's like so much going on, and it's like, you know, when you go through storms in life, and when the storm is over, that's when you really see the big picture and you see what's really going on. So Seductive Storm just kind of fit for me because it was like just raining down. It's just sometimes you just have stuff raining down on you, and you just wonder like, when is this gonna stop? When is the storm gonna stop and the sun gonna come out?
Now, what's the hardest thing about being an author?
The hardest thing about being an author for me, I would say, being able to survive and support yourself. It's definitely sometimes it takes a long time for you to get to that point where you're actually making a good income from just being an author. You definitely have to, some people have to have another job, and this, you know, their writing becomes like a hobby. And at one point, that's what I thought writing was for me. It was just a hobby, just something I was doing. And then it became a passion. I'm like, this is what I have to do. Like, this is what I need to be doing. I'm like, I have stories to tell. I got to get them out. And I have to give things to my husband for that. He was like, I asked him, I said, I need to focus on my writing. And also, another thing that I deal with, I have syndrome called fibromyalgia, and it affects my muscles and joints and stuff like that. So that kind of affects me on a daily basis as far as like how I feel and me actually, you know, pulling a full-time job or something. So I'm definitely thankful for my husband because I'm able to stay at home and be a wife and focus on my writing. And so I'm in heaven. Like, I don't really have too much to complain about or anything. Like, I'm just blessed and I'm thankful for that. But I would say the hardest thing is being an author is just feeling satisfied by it, you know, and feeling complete. And right now for me is getting to that point where I really feel like I can call myself an author and getting on some kind of level that I feel like I can wear that title. I don't want to just because I publish a book, I don't want to be like, oh, I can be considered an author. I think it's more to it than that. So at one point I was like, I'm just a writer. That's it. I'm not really, like, that's
you know
just what I do.
Right. And that's good because, you know, it's hard to find good men like your husband, and we
yeah.
honor him on that, you know, to stick
yeah.
by you, you know, situation and everything. And that's what's good because you've got that's one of your biggest supporters right there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Now, let me ask you, what's the hardest part about writing a novel for you?
Trying to write enough. I would say trying to what you have to figure out, like, what do you want to go into detail about, what not to go into detail about, trying to figure out what to eliminate, what to keep, and just do you want to have, like, how long do you want the chapter. I think I have a trouble with, like, how do I start the chapter, you know, or like, do I want to start leave off from where I left off the last chapter, like, you know. So it's a lot. You want to find a flow, you want to get a good flow of, like, you know, the person is reading and they can just, like, easily flow through the book. And so it's just a kind of trial and error type of situation, and you have to just feel comfortable. Like, everybody is not wrong don't like the way you chose to write your book, but if you feel comfortable as the author, then you just have to let it go, and you have to just move on, and you can't worry about what, you know, what it is, because I would be, you know, it would take me forever if I would want to be perfect, and nothing in life is perfect, so... and I have trouble with that sometimes, and I have to get to the point where I'm like, okay, this is good enough. I have to just let it go. But you know, when I thought of writing a novel, I was always like, I love Stephen King and authors like that. I was like, I want to get to that point where I can write like a big book. Like, I want, like, a huge, thick book. I don't know how
exactly.
they do that.
that was my next question for you. Do you have any favorite authors or favorite books, you know, that you feel, like, you know, inspired to want to write?
I would say probably Stephen King. I love how he writes and how he tells his story. And I don't really have too many, like, big favorites. Jerome Dickey, I think that's how you say his last name. I used to love reading his books and stuff, and I think you have to just enjoy reading in general. I enjoy reading everybody, you know, up and coming authors and famous authors. I enjoy reading everybody's work, because it opens your mind. It makes you a better writer. Because you can see what other people are doing, and you know, and it helps you figure out what your style is. But it helps you grow and say, okay, how do I want to write? You know, so trying to just get into my comfort zone. Like, I don't really know. All I know is I write fiction, you know, and I'll write about anything. So it just depends on what I come up with. Whatever story idea I come up with, that's what I'm write about.
Okay, so let me ask you. If you were to write a novel about your life, what would the title be?
Wow. It's funny that you asked me that. It's funny. I have a story for this. It's funny that you asked me that. I actually, a few years ago, I'm not sure how many years it's been now, I wanted to do that. I wanted to write a book about my life. I wanted to write it as third person. I didn't want to use my name. So I had started writing it, and I decided to title the book Kelsey Chronicles. Kelsey Chronicles. And I started it. And I have a lot done on it. But I don't know. I kind of just came to a stopping point. But the Chronicles, it fits because my life, you know, it's not coming to an end yet. So I definitely wanted to be like a saga. I wanted to keep going and going. So I had it all mapped up. I actually stopped at the point. The second book was, I was working on the first book, and the second Kelsey Chronicle book was supposed to start off with when I got married. So I kind of stopped right there. And I told myself I would write and work on this Kelsey Chronicle book as long as I live. And it would never come to an end until I end. Because I was like, I'm going to tell my story. This is how I'm going to tell my story. But I have not went back to it because I think it's hard for me. I think it's tough. It's a tough thing to do to talk about, to write about it, though. You know, I can talk about myself, but writing about it, and I think the hard thing is me not wanting to use my name to get to that point where I feel comfortable to actually be like, yes, I'm Kira, and this is my story. So I think I might change it up and just make it, you know, and write it from my own, you know, make it real instead of trying to make it, you know, this fiction type story. So definitely, it's still there, you know. I can go back to it anytime. So yeah, but that's what, you know, I did that. I had thought about it, and it's funny because my mother, she was waiting for me to finish that book. My mother was really, and I think that's another reason why I stopped, because my mother was really anxious and curious. She was like, because I gave her one book I had put together of like a whole bunch of poems, right? And I was talking to her about a book, and she said, well, what is this I'm reading? I said, oh, that's just a poem book. And she was like, I want to read the other book. So I think she want to find out what I have to say about people, what I'm going to say about her. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready. Get out of there. I don't know how to come first. But you know, I spent like, I would say 2 years of just coming up with story ideas. And, you know, I have stuff that I have like one chapter done. So I have like a notebook of book titles and stuff. And I can just go to and be like, okay, what I feel like writing, like, what's on my next book? So I'm never going to be out of the source, you know. I'm ready, I'm just getting started, so.
Okay, now, as you being an author, what's the best thing about being an author to you?
The best thing about being an author, I think freedom.
Okay.
The freedom of just being able to make any world that I want. I can take someone and make them do whatever I want in a book. And the freedom of just saying whatever I want to say and how I say it, and can't nobody tell me nothing. Like, they can say something, but it's too late after I write it. It's done. You can talk about it all you want to, but I wrote it. So I would say that it's freedom for me. It's just, you know, like I said, writing is my therapy, you know. And I used to be scared of, you know, writing from, like, if I was, like, sad or I was angry, I used to be scared to write that out. But now I realize that I can turn that into a story. So I've actually started doing that. Like, however I feel, like, whatever is on my mind, I take those words and write it down, and I look at it, and I find a story within it. It's funny because I have a story for that. I have an example. I was sitting here in my apartment. I hear some commotion upstairs. I had no clue what was going on. I just heard, like, you know, it sounded like a man and a woman. They was arguing or something. The lady was screaming and shouting, like, stop, 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 and all this. And I'm sitting here, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, if I was in that situation, I don't know what's really going on, but I would want somebody to call the cops just in case. you know, so I called the cops, whatever. So I'm sitting there thinking about it. I ended up writing that situation out. I ended up writing it, and I actually have it, and it became, I just came up with a book title for recently. I wanted to call it 500 Building. The apartment building, you know, 500 building. And so it's, I just got like a paragraph. I just got that one moment that's going to start off the, you know, whatever scene is a woman sitting in her living room and she hears the noise. And I think I'm going to make it into probably like a mystery. So that's how I do. Like everything around me, everything in my life, I can turn it into a story real quick. And so I love it. And that's why I feel like I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay, let me ask you, what advice would you give an inspirational writer that's trying to get to where you at?
Wow, just be true to yourself and do a lot of research. And I think you have to have a passion for it if you want to really make it. You know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, you would think it's easy, but it really isn't. And especially it takes a while for you to get to that point. I hope one day that I get to the point where a publishing company will, you know, want to work with me, you know. But right now I'm self-publishing, and self-publishing takes a lot of your own money to actually put, you know, get your work out there. And I would say, you know, as far as research goes, be careful of how you want to get your work out there. You have to really be careful about what self-publishing company you work with. You have to feel that you can trust them. You have to find out their quality of work. And you just, you know, you have to want it. You have to enjoy it. It has to be something you love doing. Or unless you're just going to be someone, if it's going to be a hobby or something, like you just come up with an idea like, oh, I'm going to write a book about this, that's fine. You can just do that really quick. But if you really want to be a writer, be an author, like, you have to love it. You have to love it.
Okay, so let me ask you. Now, a lot of authors get tired of, you know, some authors get tired of the question, how did you come up with your idea? Now, as far as your idea, which of your characters is your favorite in your novel and why?
Wow. Which one is my favorite? Oh, man. I have to watch this question. But I would say I actually have two favorites, though. I think I have more than one. I have two. I would say Terry for one, because it's closely based on the type of woman I am. So I would say Terry and Devon character. I gravitate towards them, and I love how their relationship formed in the story. I love that. And it's just, you know, it's definitely like, it's going to turn out, I feel like, to be somewhat of just, you know, this nice love story, you know, at the end of it. You know, a crazy love story, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I asked you, what was the best part of the novel? What was the hardest part of writing the novel?
The hardest part of writing it?
Mm-hmm.
I would say
which part
the
did you feel like
part...
it was so difficult, like, okay, I got to get this part right? But the book is so interesting. Then I want to talk to you about your Seductive Storm Part 2, but I want you to fill us in on that question.
I would say had a few parts that was hard. I would say the part with Terry was hard because it was close to my heart. Like, you know, that character, I put a lot of myself into her, you know, so it was very emotional for me. So I would say the part where she's going through, like, she's just going through something, you know, and she's trying to figure out what to do and how am I going to get through this. And so definitely I would say the hardest part is writing about Harry and what, you know, just her whole, about her marriage and all that. It was hard. And she does end up getting a divorce from Mike. So that was hard to write about. But I got through it. And I would say I have another hard part. Was the hard part is some crime stuff that happened. So that was kind of difficult to try to make it seem real. But, you know, it's a fiction book. So, I mean, but you still want that realness. You know, you want people to believe that this really could happen, you know. So I would say, like, the crime stuff and, you know, I wasn't sure, like, what, like, how should this person die or something. Like, it was crazy. It was very difficult to try to, you know, to get the scene right.
Now, if they were to take your novel and make it into a movie, would you want to be part of that movie, or would you want to just sit back and just have the actors do it?
I would want to be able to sit back, and I would love to be somewhat just on scene, though. I would love to have a say-so in, like, the actors they choose, though. You know, I would love to just sit back and watch it, and if I have, like, input, and be like, well, can this person do this, or can they dress this way, you know, because I've seen these people in my head. So I would definitely, like, you know, that would be awesome, but I wouldn't want to be, I don't know if I want to be in it. I want to be able to just sit back and watch my work play out. Like, that would be cool to see that.
So now let's talk about the Seductive Storm Part 2.
Yes.
Made you want to do a Part 2 instead of doing another whole different novel on a different situation? What made you want to do Part 2 of Seductive Storm?
Well, Part 1 was, I was so excited about getting Part 1 done that I was, like, impatient. So I left a lot of unanswered questions. And the way it ends, it's like, okay, yeah, I have to know what's going to happen. So, what made me write Part 2 is I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to pull people in, and then I'm like, okay, you know, I wanted to be able to write another one and like, totally switch, you know. I was tired of Seductive Storm. This is Part 1, so I'm like, I needed a new title. I needed a new, you know, feel. But it's the same story. I just, you know, I don't know. I think I was just so anxious to get that one done. And I think it would have took me longer to be at this point right now and talking to you about it if I had to put it all together. So I just wanted to break it up. And so I did some thinking. Like, I was like, okay, what can I do? Because Terry and Devon, they end up moving because the story is based out of North Carolina. So they end up moving to Texas. Yeah, they end up moving to Texas. So that's how the second book, Part 2, starts off with Terry and Devon in Texas. And the title of Part 2 is going to be Guilty of Love, Crime of the Heart. I love that title so much. And it's basically just when you're guilty, like, if you're just guilty of loving someone just way too much, and you can't hide it. Like, you're so guilty. Like, that's what you're guilty of, is loving someone too much. And crime of the heart, like, you will do anything. You will do whatever you have to do for that person because you love them that much. You will even commit crimes if that's what you had to do to make that person happy, to you know, just show them how much you love them. Part two, you basically find out the continue on of Mike's character. You get more into Raheem and Robin and what kind of relationship they have, and they come more together, and they become more of a family with the baby and everything. And you find out about Terry and Devon, so it's kind of broken up, but they do come, they're going to come together eventually. And I did leave one character out, though. There is another character, and then new characters do come up in part two, but it's one character named Salvador Santiago. He's a Spanish man. He is Robin's godfather. And he plays a big role, but he's kind of like this big boss type dude. You know, he kind of, you know, just runs stuff. He got some big dudes that work for him, you know, big muscle dudes that work for him. And he's basically the crime, he's the crime part of the story. And so you find out more about him in part two. And it just gets deeper into the story. And there actually, there just might be a part three. But it's going to go into, because Terry and Devon end up having a baby too. So part three will be, I guess you could say, new generation startup. But I'm not going to put too much out there about that. But it will be a part three coming, because I've thought of the idea. But you're gonna have in part two, you're gonna guilty of love, you're gonna have maybe some weddings going on, you're gonna have some marriage and just love, and but you still got some crime going on though, like, and two is like greed, you know doing stuff from, you know, to get that fast money, to get money real quick. You know, and it's just a lot, you know. I definitely want people to tune in. If you read the first book, you have to read the first book to learn the characters and find out the story, what's going on, before you move to part two. Once you get to part two, I just hope that, you know, people are going to love what's going on, and they're going to get into it and want to know, okay, you know, this is gotten real serious now.
The book is, I'm going to tell you, your book got real serious. And you're going to see, there's going to be a lot of response for it, because it's something very serious. Like, my lines is flooded. But let me ask you, have you ever suffered from writer's block? And if you have, what do you do in that situation?
Definitely. I think when I get writer's block, I sometimes go back to what I know best is poetry. I listen to music, and I might end up just writing, like, little short poems, or I just write whatever on my mind until that feeling comes back. You know, I just try to, or I read other people's work, you know, to get back into that feeling, you know. Sometimes you just have to just relax and not do anything and just kind of clear your mind and just, you know, walk away from it for a while and then go back. But I don't know. Like, sometimes I feel like I really never get writer's block. So I get writer's block on what I'm working on, but then I can write about something else. I can continue writing, but just not on that one thing. My mind is like everywhere. So to try to stay focused on that one thing, but, like, and I mean, I told it, it's always slipped my mind, but right now I'm not, you know, part two of the Storm is not the only book I'm working on. I'm actually working on two books at the same time. Yeah. I don't know how, but I am.
Okay, so you're working on two books at one time. So what's the most important element of good writing, according to you? what tools must the writer have to know? Because you're working on two novels at one. That's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of difficult sometimes, but that's just how my mind is, you know. I would say it's very important. You have to know, like, I think the rules of writing. And I have trouble with that, just punctuation and all that. I think that's the most important when it comes down to the end result. I definitely want to know how to do it better myself. You know, you definitely can just, you know, pass it on to an editor. But I definitely want to be able to do it all. Like, I want to be able to edit my own stuff. But you do need a second pair of eyes to look at it to catch stuff that you didn't see. But I would say for me, that's always been I've always loved writing. But for me, punctuation and where to put the comma and where in the sentence, I think that's been my hardest thing, like, all my life. Like, I've always had trouble with that. So just getting better with my skills, you know. Writing is something that's never, you can never perfect it. It's never over, you know. A story is never, you know, you never come to an end unless you just tell yourself it's over, you know. But it's something that just keeps going on and on and on, and you just keep getting better and better. And I hope to come out with something just totally different, something new. I want to create my own style of writing. I would say that's the biggest thing. You have to know that you have to have structure, and you have to follow the rules of writing, because if you don't, it's just going to be a whole bunch of words there.
Okay, now let me ask you, what is the message that you're trying to send out to your readers that read your novel?
The message, I would say that believe in yourself, believe in your heart, and don't get caught up in what you feel like other people think is right, you know, and you have to just live your life. You have to do what makes you happy. Even if it means hurting someone else, you have to just do what makes you happy. And too, I hope people get that learning, they learn something from it, a lesson of some kind, you know. Definitely is a thing that happened in your life that you should take time on and figure out and think about, like, is this really the right thing I should be doing? And everybody makes mistakes, but at the end, you have to learn from them. And, yeah, you're not going to make the right choices all the time.
Nope.
But overall, I just hope they enjoy the story. Overall, that's all I want, people to enjoy.
Well, Kara, my lines is flooded. What all I want
right.
you to do is give everybody all your information. Let them know where
okay.
to get the book and everything. Let them know. Give a shout out to everything.
You can look me up. You can Google me. You can just type in Kara Pridgen, KeraPridgen. And everything about me will come up. You can type in Seductive Storm. You can search that. It will come up. It's on Amazon.com as an ebook. And the great thing is it's only 99 cents. So it won't break you to read a good story. Yeah, just, you know, once you can just Google me and you can find me. I'm on Facebook also, and I'm pretty much everywhere on a lot of social networks, but mostly on Facebook, and that's pretty much it. And I want to just shout out, like, everyone who's supporting me, and who loves reading my work, anything I write, and that's pretty much it, you know. And I hope everyone who goes and reads the book and download it, and you can download the book also. You don't have to have a Kindle. You can, all you have to do is download the Kindle app. It's free. You can read the book and download it on your PC, your Mac, your iPhone, any smartphone you have, your tablet.
Okay.
So you can read it anywhere you would like. And I just hope you download it and you enjoy it. And remember that part two is coming very, very soon. It's coming. It's on its way. And also, I'm having another, the other book that I'm working on is called New Friend. And that's a good story also. So check that out too. And yeah, just search me, Kira M. Pridgen.
Well, Kira, I want to tell you, you're definitely going to be getting that book.
All right.
It's something that it's real exciting. It sounds like you got a lot of drama also going on in it. And you know, in New York, everywhere else, they love the drama.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to be pushing for that book. And also, we're going to be pushing it in the magazine, GQ Palace magazine as well.
All right.
GQ Palace is also going to be helping you push this novel because it can't sit still.
I'm definitely excited that y'all have to go. It's my first time doing this, so I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad to just get my name out there and get people to know, like, that I'm what I'm doing. And I have many more stories to tell, and you know, so I'm definitely, this story is really big, and it's not over yet.
I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised if you have other stations calling you to go on the air. I'm going to let you know right now.
Yeah. All right.
So don't be surprised, buddy, because usually when a lot of people, when they come up with GQ College, you get people that call them to go on the air and everything, and, you know, which is a good thing. But we're definitely going to be pushing, and we're going to be pressing people to get this novel because it's something exciting and the drama and the whole concept of it, it sounds so exciting. And there's no way you're going to let it sit there.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And
I appreciate
you know,
it.
And I want you to know, you're welcome back anytime. We got Lavina number, the executive producer. Call her if you want to come back on. It's never a problem. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to one of my other hosts about having you on the show on a Thursday night because we have 8 different episodes a week with 11 different hosts. So
right.
We're going to get you on a Thursday night show and have you talk about this novel.
All right.
About
that sounds
novel.
Great.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Kira Melissa Pridgen, Dons and Divas. All right. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank all the callers. But most of all, I got to thank the man above. Because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, check out my man, G-I-T-O, up-and-coming artist. He's doing big things. And definitely, definitely get that novel by Kira, Seductive Storm. It's something you really need to look into. Like I said, it's an exciting novel. He's talking realistic things as well. So make sure you get that novel. She got it on Kindle, and it's only 99 cents. So we're not trying to hear, no, you can't get it. So make sure you get it. And this is Rich Money talking to you from GQ Palace Radio. So make sure you go get that novel. Once again, it's going down tonight. 511 Lexington Avenue, between 46th and 47th Street. My swagger is crazy. Congratulations once again to Angie and Rachel, who won the tickets last week for his 22nd anniversary at Latin Quarters, going down tonight. GQ Palace also, July 14th, the Nonstop Media. Coco Chanel will be in the building. Latoya Khan from Video City. Super Love and C. Me, myself, Rich Money. Rough Rider. Hot 97, Pioneer, Comedian Chick Chick, featuring artist Anaya Armstead. It's going to be crazy July 14th at Club Allure, 3302 Queens Boulevard. Doors open at 7, so make sure you be in there. And like I said, DQ Palace, 8 episodes a week, 11 different hosts. Tune in Sunday from 7 to 9. Scripture Sunday with Lavina Polite. Open in prayer. Minister Arthur Weathersby. Closing in prayer. Cheryl Miller. They play gospel music. Call in to give their testimonies as well. After them, from 9 to 10, Crossroads Temple. We have the Manhattans in the building. They're going to be talking about their new gospel single, the gospel CD that they have coming out. Excuse me. They will be on the Crossroads Temple from 9 to 10. On Tuesday, you have GPS, DQ Palace Sports, with my man, the mayor, bringing you the bigger picture in sports, doing it how he say it, all body karate. On Wednesday, you have the Diva Squad from 7 to 9, bringing you the grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest and new old school and R&B. And right after them, you have Fallout Comedy with my man, Rakim Chick Chick Singleton, bringing you the funniest, livest, funniest stories on radio right here on GQ Palace. On Thursdays, we have Reality and Relationships from 8 to 10 with KL and Tiffany discussing relationship status, what's going on in the world news today, bringing you that two-cinematic feedback on relationships. And on Fridays, you're right back here with Rich Money on GQ Palace Radio. I want to thank y'all all for tuning in. This is Rich Money. Have a safe and blessed weekend. Have a safe and blessed weekend. Enjoy yourself. We out.
To the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from Reno to Chester to the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine status. Not average, Dunny, I'm Rich Money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality relationships, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love life loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes, I'm spoiled.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the gospel on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, virtue approved. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich Money, I rhyme, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Wild parable, GQ, non-comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.